Good morning. Please open your Bibles to Colossians 1, verse 24. We're in a series about who am I now? And one of the important things that we need to remember, and what Dean taught today, is who am I now fits into who are we now. We can't separate. When we come to Christ, we come to the church and to each other. So some of the things I might talk about might have a more pluralistic, identity as opposed to a personal identity, but it'll work out, I think. All right? So let me read. Everybody there? I like to wait. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. It's really close to the ESV, and then we'll get to it. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been revealed and manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete or mature in Christ. And for this purpose, I also labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. Father, we give you this time. Holy Spirit, we ask right now, in Jesus' name, that you would speak to us through your word. Whatever you have spoken to me, I pray that it would be effective in communicating what you have for us, that we would grow, that we would get stronger in you, that we would know who we are. And as we leave this place, we bring us out there so that they can see you ultimately. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I want to start with chapter 1, verse 13. I believe that's the crux of everything, and then I'll go into what I just read. Remember, verse 13 said this, that he took us, he transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. You were one person, now you are a new person. You had one reality, now you have a new reality. And because we have a new reality, everything is different. Do you agree? Okay, so that's where I'm going to go with. But Paul said this, that there's a process. I was watching the news, and this guy's climbing K2. Do you guys know the mountain? Next to Everest, second highest, but probably more dangerous. And they were talking about it 4 weeks from base camp to top. And I thought to myself, if I'm just going up to see everything, just get in a dang helicopter. I'll be up there in an hour and a half. Right? But something happens in the transition that can't happen in getting into the helicopter and going up. And I thought about kids. How many kids? You guys got kids, right? Ask your kids. I'll ask you. Can you wait to grow up? I can't wait, right? I get a job. I have to pay bills. I don't think anybody in their right mind would say, oh, yeah, I can't wait. Giovanni, can you wait to grow up? Yeah, he's shaking his head. However, Paul says this, we are a people that can't wait to grow up and grow up in our maturity in Christ. And there's some nuggets that he puts in this text here that I want to draw out. and talk to us about growing up in Christ and who we are now because we've been transferred. By the way, that word transferred almost sounds like you were on a conveyor belt. He transferred us. That's not really what that word means. That word means is violent. He was violent. He walked into the enemy's camp and he said, "You are mine. Let go. I'm taking him." That's all of us. He was violent towards the enemy and grabbing you out of slavery and darkness and putting you into the kingdom of light. And now there's a process. I would sure love to drive up to the Jesus in the Box convenience store and talk to the person on the other side and say, "Can I have your order, please, today?" "Sure, I'll take, oh, I don't know. How about 2 orders of patience? Oh, I love that. 3 orders of prosperity. Give me 3 orders of that. Give me 3 orders of, and give me a couple of love thy neighbor as thyself." And we're done. Right? We walk up, we give him what we, Obviously, it doesn't work like that. So Paul talks about a process. And I'll tell you this. And we look at the giants of Scripture and we go, "I'll never be like him." But I'm going to say this, that whatever was good for Paul was good for us and is good for us. So he draws out some nuggets here on how we mature in Christ. And the first one I want to talk about is, he says he rejoices in his suffering. Who can relate to that? Not me. What kind of crazy person says that? Well, here's the first identity character. Paul had developed a ready insight into and an understanding of the deeper things of life and of the ways of God through what he went through. Charles Spurgeon stated this, "They who dive in the sea of affliction bring up rare pearls." So this type of people know the ways of God because in that process of affliction, God changes us and conforms us into the image of his Son. First and foremost, there's a plan. I know it's kind of trite when someone's going through something, especially when it's what you've never experienced, and you say, "You know, God has a plan for you." It seems trite, but honestly, God has a plan in this. It's true. 1 Peter 4, don't turn there, but I will. I've got my little tabby notes here. He says this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some," you ever get this? "As though some strange thing were happening to you." We think it's strange. Peter said, it's not strange. Affliction is what God uses to mold us and to change us. It's not the party house, right? And we'll get to what Solomon says about that. But man, when I was younger, I wanted a party. I didn't want to feel pain. I don't want to go through growing up. But Paul says, I rejoice in my suffering because I know what it does. There's a plan of God, not just for me, but for the purpose of God, for my ultimate good, and for other people. Do you guys believe that? And I went to the story of Joseph. Joseph has the dream. "Hey, brothers, check this out. You're all going to bow down to me. Isn't that good news? Let's kill him." Okay, don't kill him. Dad would get really bummed. Let's sell him into slavery. Sold into slavery, favor of God on his life, works for this dude. His wife tries to seduce him. He says, "Oh no, I can't do that." So she grabs hold of him as he's running away. I got his clothes, right? "He tried to do something to me." He goes into jail for 3.5 years, falsely accused. None of this was his fault. Well, maybe he should have shut his mouth talking to his brothers, but other than that, none of that was his fault. He's in jail 3.5 years. Is there a plan? I'm thinking Joseph's thinking in this affliction. Is there a plan? Yes. He gets out. He becomes Zaphnath-Paneah, the second in the second in command in all of Egypt. He is the hand of their God. And there's a famine in the land, and the brothers come. Now, if that 3.5 years hadn't worked something into him, which the psalmist says, he stayed 3.5 years in prison until the iron worked into his soul, until something changed him. Why? Well, the brothers are sitting there. We need some food. Could you imagine if that wasn't worked out in him? Hey, look up here. Remember me? With one stroke, with one word, you're all dead. I think I'd do that. Not, you know, in my flesh. But God worked something in him. And he, what did he do? He went and wept. And then and came back and said to his brothers, listen, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. For many lives will be saved. Was he speaking just of Israel? Who else was he speaking of? All of you sitting in this room. Because guess who was sitting as one of the brothers? Judah. Who came from the line of Judah? You kill him, you kill the seed. There's a plan in the affliction that we might not see. But we have deeper insight and we understand that when we're going through something, it's for a greater reason. We have deeper insight. That's part of growing up in Christ. The second, Paul, can I just say one thing? He said one thing about, hey, I'm doing my part on making up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions, right? When I was a young Christian, that really bothered me because I didn't get it. What? You mean I'm helping Christ on what he did on the cross? Wow, that's pretty heavy duty. He's not actually saying that. It's not about the atonement because we already read that he already did that. He transferred us by the work of the cross. What's he saying? That he's now in union with Christ. And I believe his mind went back to Acts. What was the first thing that Jesus said to Paul when he knocked him off his horse? Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I'm going around with these people. We are at one with Christ. And so our afflictions bring us deeper and stronger into the union with Christ Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. The second, he calls us stewards of the mystery. And when we think of stewards, we think of our material wealth, homes, right? I need to be a steward of the things God has given me. What's the greatest thing that God has given you, though? The stewardship of the gospel, of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The mystery, I guess, what is it called in the Latin? The mysterium tremendum. The awesome holiness of God. You know, we say these things and we were singing today, but do you realize that God is incomprehensible? You can't comprehend him. You can't. And yet we come and we're in his presence, and everything you have has been given to you by God, including understanding who he is. And now, what do you do with it? So the second quality, besides seeing into the deeper inside of life, is being responsible. Oh, I hate that word. Giovanni, are you responsible? And dependable. What will you do with the mystery of the gospel of Christ, the revelation of Jesus? It's amazing. He's all pure. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all present. He's all love. He's all purity. And yet, as Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are your eyes that you see. For many kings and prophets desire to see what you see but didn't. You get it. You have the treasure to be able to give out. And when guess what happens in being responsible? You have to give an account. I will give an account of how I steward the mystery of God to my children, to you as a leader. I will have to give an account. I'm not afraid, because it's all in the grace of God. But we grow up in our understanding of what we've been given. It's not just the physical finite. Matt prayed today about seeing past the finite, seeing into the eternal. The treasure is Christ Himself, and you have Him. Therefore, being responsible, are we humble when we share? Later on in Colossians, he says this: let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how to respond to everybody. Are we faithful? Are you expectant? Are you ready? Are you a seeker of God? Do you want to grow in the mystery of God? It's not just head knowledge. I know the attack on the Reformed is that we're too intellectual. And you know what? In a lot of ways, it comes down. It looks like that. But it's the whole encompassing. Jesus said, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. And it's grabbing hold of all of it. Are we seekers of God? And I say, do we represent, as the guys in the hood say? Do we represent? Are you ambassadors of Christ? Listen, you bring the King's message, not your own. No ambassador would ever say, well, you know what I think. They don't. They can't. Because they represent a government. What they say is, the position of my kingdom is. Do you guys know the position of your kingdom? In all things. If not, we grow in maturity. Amen? But not only has he given us the mystery of the revelation of Christ, as he spoke to the Gentiles here in Colossae? Is that how we say it? But he also said the revelation, the mystery was that Christ was in you. And I truly believe we always read that individually. I think he was talking to the church. It's both, but I want to go plural here. He's in me and he's in you, therefore he's in us. Christ in you, and that's the hope of glory. Jesus is transforming, powerful, grave-beating life is now in us to empower us through sanctifying grace to live a life that conforms us to a life that pleases him. And that serves him. So what's the growing in maturity? That we now do not depend on just ourselves. In fact, we don't depend on ourselves at all. All of this is God in me. My dependence is now fully on God. And one of the reasons why Paul said this to the Gentiles was he was dealing with a heresy in the church at the time that was basically saying, I think the word is asceticism. And what they were doing, that the belief that humans could transcend evil and the corruptions of this world through self-discipline and the strength of their own will. And he was saying the only way you can escape corruption is that the life of Jesus Christ in you allows you to escape corruption. First of all, we were changed at regeneration. No, do we use the word born again anymore? I remember in the 70s it was a really... I'm using it again. I was born again. The Spirit of God came and indwelt me. I was not the same person. I was different the next minute. And I know it's a process with some folks, but God indwelt me and I thought different. I looked at things different. And obviously we start the process. But now we are being changed. We were changed. We are being changed. And we will be changed. It continues. Let me go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power of God may not be from ourselves. Surpassing greatness. What greatness of power? Oh, I don't know. Raising from the dead? Pretty surpassing great. You know, death was pretty much undefeated for a time. As a boxer, he would be had a pretty good record. Christ came and knocked him out. Right? And here's what he says. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're being changed. We are perplexed, but we're not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested. He's changing us. Today, as you sit in that chair, he's changing you. We are going from glory to glory to glory. And then guess what? We get fully changed. I will have a body that will never die. I will never be sick. Never be sick. I think I hate colds more than I hate the flu. I don't know. Just my own thing. But that sniffling, I won't have that. I won't sin. I won't have the propensity to sin. I don't get it. Again, God is incomprehensible. But this is what the Word of God tells me. And so my dependence on God alone is this nugget of maturity. And finally, guys, it's about being effective in this life. You know, I told Noah, he just graduated. I said, now check this out. In a blink of an eye, you'll be 30. I don't know what happens after graduation. You've waited, right? Oh, I can't wait till I graduate. I can't wait. Then it's your 10-year reunion. What happened? Oh, guess what? Then you're 58. And I don't know if there's I honestly don't know if there's a midlife crisis in God. I don't believe there should be. But there's something inside of me that's saying, I want my life to make a difference. You know, when I was first saved, I didn't really have that as much. And I know I kid. As I get closer to the dirt nap, I want my life to make a difference. I want people to know Jesus Christ, not me. And Paul talks about that, about being effective. A mature man, it says in Ephesians 4, that we grow up to a full stature of Christ, that when the church is seen, they see Christ himself. We are trained in God's word. We are discerning. We listen and we don't lawyer up. That's what I call it. It's easy to lawyer up. But, right, I object. Remember, he's the judge. Overruled. I never had a sustained, I don't think. Every time I go, I object, overruled. Can you just give me one sustained? We are sensible in this process. We're repentant. It's okay to be repentant. Do you live a life of repentance? Hey, are you bummed out when you sin? And I don't mean guilt-ridden. Are you bummed? I hope you are. If you're not, we need to talk about it. But do we move quickly? Do we repent and say, God, help me in this area and move forward? Because the world, honestly, guys, whether they know it or not, they're looking for Jesus Christ. They're looking for him. Resist temptation. Are we growing together, guys? Are you extending grace to one another? You know what? I thought about this. I'm gonna put my boys on the spot here. We were sitting around this fire table the other night, and we were just all chatting. And I said, do you remember what I said? I said, boy, we McCutcheon men are really good at finding fault, of nitpicking down to the nitty-gritty and just chewing someone up. I think we need to change that, guys. Did I say that? At least I said that, right? We need to change that. God, help us. Are we the ones that point the finger? Or do we do this and say, God, deal with me. Take the log out of my eye. Grow up. You know why it's easier to go that? Because you don't have to do this. Instead of judgment, are we careful about what words we use? Do we know when to be silent? That one's a hard one for me. I'm sorry. And I have this picture in my mind when Jesus said every careless word will be given an account for. That this is like this line that's millions of people long, and they're looking at their watch. And they're going, who's up there? And it's Kevin. Here's the other thing, though. The full stature of Christ. Do you take hold of this thing called Christianity passionately? Do you work hard? Do you play hard? But when play's time's over, do you work hard again? Do we work hard at our relationships? See, Paul said this at the end of Colossians, with every effort, right, of the power that's within me, I'm pushing forward for all of this, that I might present every man mature in Christ. Because it's all about mission. You know, I've been blessed of what's been brought to us in the last year about, hey, it's time to get out of your seats and it's time to go out here. My prayer is that we would take hold of that mission because we are mature in Christ. Amen? Amen. Stand with me.